Beautiful. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Heartway. Glad your beautiful faces are here. We are in week two of our brand new series called In My Feels. Somebody say In My Feels. In My Feels. I know a lot of y'all are in your feels after last week's message. If you didn't catch the annual sex talk, you're the only person in town who's missing out. So you should have some FOMO right now and go on the podcast and check it out. But we had a lot of fun. And today we're going to continue the discussion. We're actually going to talk about marriage and relationships. And I've got to be honest with you. I'm pretty sure this is the first time in the history of Heartway Church that I have actually spoken on this particular topic.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so that's good. And there's a reason for that, though, okay? And the reason why is because when I started this whole thing, a commitment that I made to myself was I'm never going to speak about anything that I don't have experience in. Okay, I know a bunch of people who feel like they have the ability to speak as if they are experts in something just because they read a book or they went to Wikipedia or they Googled it. But for me, unless I've lived it, I'm not going to share it. And quite frankly, my wife and I, we're new at this thing and we still have no idea what the heck we're doing. I kind of almost just feel like we just now started to kind of sort of figure each other out. And so I figured, you know, it's been 4 years. Maybe now I can have a little something that I can share with people. And I've been encouraged to do it. And so we're going to have the conversation. Now, I do want to make a few acknowledgments up front. Number one, I know that there are a few of you in this room who have been doing this relationship marriage thing for a really, really, really long time. And if that's you, I know that I'm probably not going to say anything that's going to blow your mind or something totally new that you've never heard before that may revolutionize your marriage. You may sit there and be like, oh, that's cute. You're just finding that out now. You got a long way to go. And that's okay. But something that I've noticed is the longer you do anything, the harder it is to keep the passion that you started with. And so my prayer, my hope is that through some of the things that I would share, you would remain open-hearted and humble enough to be able to receive and hopefully be reminded of some of those things that you may have forgotten along the way and that are really important for you if you're going to have a good, healthy, successful relationship with somebody that you love. I have a friend of mine, my best friend's dad, actually. When Emily and I got engaged, I was working out at the time at a LA Fitness in Pembroke Pines. And I remember walking in and I was happy. I had just posted it on Instagram. Everybody was showing love and, oh, Danny's getting engaged and this is such a big deal and that's so cute and whatever, whatever. So I'm walking in the gym and I know that's going to be the conversation that comes up with anybody who sees me and knows me. They're going to say congrats and they're going to give me a hug or whatever. Well, I walk in and my friend's dad is doing some curls. And I walk up next to him and he starts laughing. He looks at me and he just starts cracking up. I'm like, what's going on, man? He's like, I heard you got engaged. And I'm like, yeah. And then he starts laughing even more. He's like, oh my God, man, that's all. And I'm like, why are you laughing? He looks at me and he says, you'll see. You'll see. And at the time, I didn't know what he was talking about, but I have seen. Okay? I have seen. And so I know a lot of you are going to come from that perspective, and that's okay. You know, like I said, I hope you can still grab something from what I'm going to share this morning. And then I want to talk to another crowd who's in the room today, and that's those of you who are either single or you're dating, you're in and out of relationships, you want to be married to somebody one day, and hopefully today can be sort of like a pep talk. We can help give you a little preparation because Lord knows you're going to need all the preparation you can get. Okay, if you're actually gonna love somebody and work things out with somebody and it not be toxic and suck the life out of you, it's gonna take a whole lot of work. Marriage is the endless process of figuring it out. That's the conclusion that I've arrived to. Life is really the endless process of figuring it out. And marriage definitely is something that is included in the realm of life, I would think. So marriage is the endless process of figuring things out. We never get to the point where we've totally figured it out. We know this, right? And before I start, I hate that I even have to say this, but sometimes I feel like I need to remind you that even though I'm kind of on a stage and above you in reality and in real life, like, I'm right here. I'm just another human being who's totally jacked this whole thing up. And I just happen to have the ability to communicate and share a little bit of the things that I've learned. But I'm no better than you. So don't think that whatever advice or wisdom that's coming from me is something that I've got figured out and I practiced this perfectly. No, I'm actually sharing it with you because I need it. I preach to other people the things that I need to hear. So with that being said, all those caveats out of the way, let's dive in. I want to give you today five principles that can help you have a happy, successful, beautiful relationship with somebody that you love. And here's the first one, nice and simple. The healthier you are as an individual, the healthier you will be as a couple. The best gift that you can give to any human being in the world is the healthiest version of yourself. And the worst gift that you can give to any other human being in the world is an unhealthy and immature version of yourself. Typically, when you walk into church settings like this and you're talking about relationships, it's February, I feel like everybody's talking about relationships, Valentine's Day, love, romance. Typically in churches, you'll hear the standard thing like, you gotta keep God first in your marriage, and you gotta make sure you're praying with your spouse, and you gotta make sure that you guys are, you know, doing quiet times together, whatever. Okay, I don't have a problem with none of those things. Do it. If you can pray with your partner and it's not awkward, do it. Put God first, of course. But I wanna get a little more practical than that, because from what I see, I don't think what most of us need is a lot more spiritual mumbo jumbo. What most of us need is just to grow up. The reason why many of us are not happy is because we're still really, really, really immature. We still haven't grown up. We still haven't found that healthy version of ourselves. And so we're very quick to blame. We're all about defending ourselves. We always want to be right. We're always shifting responsibility and never taking any responsibility for ourselves. You see, the person that you're in a relationship with is constantly mirroring you back to yourself. That's what makes marriage and relationships so hard. It's because all of your issues come up, all of your baggage comes up, all of your stuff comes up, and there's somebody there who's willing and ready to always point it out to you. And so you have a choice in that moment. Am I going to own up to my stuff and change and grow up? Or am I going to neglect it, ignore it, pretend like none of those issues are really there? See, the primary cause of unhappiness in every relationship is never the other person. It's always your reaction to them. It's the labels you give. It's the conclusions that you jump to. It's the ego and the false sense of self that you're constantly trying to defend. You see, healthy conflict is not about winning. It's about progress. But an immature person doesn't see that. An immature person only sees their agenda. Which is why every time they get into conflict, every time they get into some sort of an issue with somebody, they're having to assert themselves and they're having to prove their point. That's not how it works. Listen, the problem is never the other person. The problem is always you. And I know that is so difficult for some of you to hear this morning, and you were hoping that I was going to say the complete opposite. The problem is never the other person. The problem is always you. You want to know why I say that? Because even if that other person really is a problem, it's not like you can fix them. Am I right? Yeah. So what good is it to even try and do that? But you know what you can't fix? You. You know who you can't change? Yourself. And you will be very, very, very pleasantly surprised. I can tell you this from experience. You will be pleasantly surprised at how much more peace enters into your life, how much more you're able to overlook. You will be pleasantly surprised at how much more you're able to tolerate. You'll be pleasantly surprised at how transformative your own composure can be when you bring it into any given situation. But it's going to require you stop doing this and start doing some of that. But it always begins right here. See, in a good marriage or in any good relationship, the way you know things are going well is when that marriage is a way of you learning how to see yourself more clearly. And really, this is all of life. But when that relationship can become a means by which you see yourself more clearly and you are more interested in working on you than on making somebody else your project, that's when you're actually giving yourself a shot at some sort of thing like happiness. and joy and pleasure in a relationship. The moment that your marriage or your relationship becomes a vehicle for you to point out the faults of somebody else instead of your own, you've already gone south. All of your pettiness, all of your arguing, all of the attitude, all of the bitterness and unforgiveness, all of the jealousy always says more about you than it does the other person. Why are you letting stuff get to you so much? Work on you. Problem's never them. It's always you. Are we still okay?
Yeah.
Okay, all these principles build on each other. So here's the second one. Self-knowledge is the beginning of self-improvement. And self-improvement is the beginning of a happy and healthy relationship. When you are able to own your stuff, the more aware you are of your baggage, the easier it will be for you to deal with another person's baggage. That's why self-knowledge is so important, because it produces humility. Self-awareness makes you humble. When you can learn how to love yourself with all of your flaws and all of your issues, it now becomes a lot easier for you to extend that same love to somebody else with all of their flaws and all of their issues, because you know you don't have it together either. So what right do I have to say anything to this other person? But most of us, when we're all caught up in being right and getting mad and proving our point and being the dominant one, we've totally missed out on the fact that we're just as much as at fault as the other person is. So you have to start with self-knowledge. You have to start with having a healthy sense of self-awareness and allowing that humility to work in you and to work through you. The thing is, we all know this is painful. Doing that kind of inner work, going back into your past, reliving the traumas, the pain, the suffering, because listen, you know that you aren't the way that you are by accident, right? You are the way that you are because of all the stuff you've experienced in your life. And so if you don't go into that closet and start facing those monsters, why do I always react in that way? Why does this always trigger me like that? Why is my mind always going to that place when this happens? You're only going to find the answers to those questions when you start asking why and what. What have I been through? You know, why am I this way? What is some of the stuff that has occurred in my past that I have yet to confront, that I have yet to deal with? You've got to face that stuff, as difficult as it may be. It's a freeing journey, but it's like one of my favorite teachers says, before the truth sets you free, it makes you miserable. The truth will set you free. The truth about yourself, the truth about your life, the truth about your relationship. But before that truth sets you free, it's going to make you miserable, because you've got to own up to the reality of how things are and why things have gotten to the place that they have. There's a friend of mine a couple of years ago. He deals with some issues, health issues, and he was at my house and he was experiencing like some sort of stomach pain. And I had told him, I said, man, you should probably go to the hospital for that. And he said, oh no, Danny, you know, I'm not going to the hospital. I said, why? He says, well, 4 years ago, okay, when I had this same pain and I went to the hospital, they had to do surgery on me. And that surgery was so painful, there's no way I'm going to go through it again. So you better believe I'm going to push through this as much as I can and prolong this process as long as I can, because who wants to do surgery, right? Nobody. Well, I said, okay, no problem. Couple weeks later, my friend was at his house and he started feeling a really sharp pain, so bad that he hit the floor and he couldn't do anything. His roommate wasn't there. His roommate was out for a jog or something. When he comes back, he finds him on the floor, and guess what? He takes him over to the hospital. This guy goes and gets some help. Well, long story short, after he goes to get the help, he got the surgery he needed to get. Never forget, the doctor came in and we were in there, and the doctor told my friend, hey, listen, I don't know why it took you so long to come in to deal with this stuff. As painful as all of this was, you could have avoided some of this misery if you would have caught this earlier and dealt with it earlier. But because you did it, now this process has become very prolonged and much more difficult and a lot harder for you to deal with. Why didn't you come earlier? And I, as soon as I heard that, it clicked in me. I was like, oh my gosh, that's what we do in life. The longer you put off your issues, the worse they become. The longer you wait before you deal with your stuff, the bigger that stuff gets, the harder it becomes to deal with. And so as difficult as it is, you've got to take responsibility. You've got to take ownership. You've got to face your stuff. You have to, because it's only you at your healthiest version that can actually add value and happiness to another person's life. If you're not that kind of a version of yourself, all you're doing is sucking the life out of the person that you're with. And this is especially true when it comes to communication. Same principle applies. The less you talk about your problems, guess what? The more you perpetuate those problems. Nobody likes to talk about their problems. But we have to talk about our problems. You have to have moments where you have that one-on-one. And in a good, respectful, honest way, you say, okay, here's our crap. Here's what we got to deal with. Here's how I feel. Here's what we need to work with. Of course, we don't like doing that. It's painful and it hurts, but it's absolutely necessary. You will never have a healthy relationship without it. I remember my wife and I, this was probably, I don't know, end of 2016. No, not that early. Maybe midway 2017. We're already like a year and a half into church. And when we first started, Emily was on hyperdrive with church stuff. Okay, she was literally doing everything. And that's awesome because she's great. But the thing is, Emily can get like a workaholic. That's why she's so awesome. But she started doing so much that she started burning out and getting tired. And then on top of that, one day she was very honest with me and she said, Danny, you know, I feel like I'm giving my entire life to build your dream. But what about my own? And that was a difficult conversation, for at least for me, because when I was taught about what it means to be a pastor and have a church, the pastor's wife has a very particular role. And I'm a planner. I like to have everything figured out ahead of time. So you better believe before I married this woman, I was tell her, read this book, read this article. We're going to go to this conference. I just want you to know you're dating a pastor, right? So if we're going to get married, you got to be down with this life because this is a whole different thing. And so here we are. We're in it. And now you're changing up the whole thing on me. What do you mean your dream? This was our dream, I thought. What? Huh? What's going on? So I started freaking out. I feel insecure now. I don't know what's going on. And then on top of that, Emily's now like, I want to go travel the world. What? You know, so now not only do you not want to, you know, do all that you've been doing in the church, now you want to travel the world. Hello, you're dating. You're married to a pastor. There's no way that we're going to be just traveling the world all the time. Yeah, I want to do my photography. I want to go here. And that's awesome. And it's good. And I had to learn how to accept that and realize that. But it was just a very difficult thing for me because that's not what I had planned. But life never goes the way that you plan. Anyhow, I was talking to a friend of mine when we were going through this. And my friend actually told me, Danny, you know what? This is the biggest blessing that could ever happen to your relationship. I'm like, what do you mean? I feel like my wife's going in this direction. She has her photography and that's her life. And she's doing her whole thing. And I'm a pastor and I'm rooted in this local church and I'm doing my thing. And these paths aren't really aligned. And he said, no, Danny, you don't get it. You don't know how many pastors' wives that I talk to who feel that same way, but they don't say anything because they think they have to fit into that perfect little role. And they spend their entire lives miserable and bitter. And that misery and that bitterness grows year after year after year. And before you know it, it's affecting your relationship. And then it's affecting your kids. And oh, it's such a mess. Danny, you are so lucky that she was open and honest with you now instead of later. I said, oh, you know what? You're right. And that was all a result of a conversation. Very hard conversation. Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought life was over, you know, really. I was like, this life is over. Really? I did. I said, life is over. This is crazy. This is not how I planned it. This is not how it's supposed to go. Now you're ruining the whole thing. What are we going to do? Now, thankfully, Emily is, you know, so incredible. Not only is she doing extremely well for herself in her business, but she still is extremely involved in Heartway and doing everything that she can in her power. And so shout out to Emily. But yeah. But, you know, it's just one of those things. Two of the biggest mistakes that I think we've made in our marriage is number one, trying to fix, let me say it like this. Number one is thinking that our problems would fix themselves. And number two, trying to change one another ourselves. You know, problems don't fix themselves. Nothing in your life is just going to work itself out. You have to work it out. And if you don't work it out, it ain't getting worked out. Nothing happens on its own. You got to put in the effort. You got to put in the work. And then secondly, you can't change another human being. And trying to do that is going to make you absolutely miserable. And if you're that kind of person who's always nagging about your partner and always criticizing your partner and always trying to put your partner in a box, eventually, you know, they're not even going to be hearing what you're saying anymore. All they're going to hear you saying is, I don't really love you as you are. I deal with you as you are. And when you become the person that I want you to be, then I'll really love you. But then is that really love at all? It's not. And so you've got to ask yourself, if this person that I'm with never changes, this was the game changer for me. If this person never changes, if they are like this for the rest of their life, will I still be able to be happy in this relationship? Will I still be able to love them through that? If you can't answer that question affirmatively, I don't know if that person is your person. Because all that means if you say no is that you're going to spend the entire relationship trying to mold this person into who you want them to be. That's called control, which is the complete opposite of love. You've got to let them be who they are. Now, here's the third principle. I like this one. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. Think about that again. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. Anytime that your mind decides something is true, your brain will go into hyperdrive mode to try and find evidence to support your theory. This is psychology. This is what people call confirmation bias. When you think something is true, your brain goes to work to try and reinforce that thing that you believe to be true. Sometimes even twisting reality to fit your version of it. We do this all the time, which is, by the way, why the word always is always a bad word to use when you're arguing with somebody. You always do that. She's always doing that. You're always doing this. Well, if that's what you want to see, that's what you will see. If that's what you are looking for, that's what you will find. So this can work in a positive sense, and this can work in a negative sense. If you believe the best about your partner, you will find evidence to support that theory. If you always jump to the worst, you will also find evidence to support that theory as well. What are you looking for? Because you will always find what you are looking for. And I hope I don't step on some toes here, but you know what this reminds me of? Jealousy, insecurity, suspicion. Is this person being shady behind my back? When you've already resolved that that's the truth you're looking for, you will make all the evidence point to that reality and say, yeah, you see? I was talking to my friend the other day, just got a new girlfriend. Pobrecito, the guy's like, you know, 20, 21. So he's just figuring how crazy people can be. And he was telling me, he's like, Danny, you know, this girl, man, she made me block all these girls on Instagram. You know, she made me block all my ex-girlfriends. And I commented one thing on this girl's thing, and she got so mad at me, and she yelled at me and said, well, bro, I do not envy you, because that is miserable. But we do this. Don't act like y'all don't do this. Oh, this person messaged you, or oh, you did a, this person put a smiley face on their picture. What's up with that smiley face? Really, you put that smiley face. And just to put Emily on blast, she ain't like that no more. But there was a girl, you know, beautiful woman who I know for a long time. And we're friends. And she commented on something I put years ago. And Emily put knife emojis underneath the comment. Real knife emojis, dude. When I saw it, I said, oh no, this is not good. This is crazy. Babe, what's going on? Let's talk, please. But I've done that too. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, you start, literally, your brain is always looking to reinforce what you think to be true. And so if you come at it with that suspicion, you're gonna twist reality to fit your picture of it. And you have to understand that sometimes you may be onto something, but most of the time you're not. Listen, what is it that we're afraid of? That the person you love is gonna cheat on you? Okay. So if that happens, then what? You deal with it when it comes. What's done in the darkness will come out to the light. Eventually, people, they get sloppy when they're trying to hide stuff. It'll come out. Deal with it when it comes. But until then, why am I going to drive myself crazy with suspicion and fear and micromanaging? All that's going to do is produce more suffering for me. Love equals freedom. If you cannot give freedom to the person that you love, you don't really know what love is. Don't put people in cages. But you know what's beautiful? When you do give people freedom, if they're yours, they're yours. And you'll know it. They come back to you. It's always, you'll find that. So it's important to recognize this. Now, what are we talking about? Okay, we don't see things as they are. Yeah, we see things as we are. So that's this principle. I forget where I'm going with this. I have a cheat sheet because I knew I was going to, something was going to happen. I was going to forget something. Let's see what we're talking about here. Oh, this is a good point. This is a good point. When I think about all of this stuff, you know where it gets me to this place where I realize, you know what? I can't take myself too seriously anymore. When I stopped taking myself so seriously, it's like this huge load came off of my shoulders. I know when I'm getting emotional, when I'm triggered, when I'm mad, when I'm bitter, you know, when all the feelings are everywhere, I know that I can't trust myself. And so I've learned how to watch it and laugh at it. Really, I don't take that stuff seriously anymore because I know in that moment I have a very distorted picture of what reality is. So it is best for me to just be silent, be quiet, pause a little bit, give it some time before I approach this issue because this kind of thinking pattern isn't ever going to get me anywhere. You are always approaching every issue, every conflict from a very limited and biased perspective, and you have to know that. You're always approaching every conflict from a very limited and biased perspective. You never have the whole picture. In fact, most of the time you have a very tainted picture of what reality is. The way that you react and where your mind goes when you get into certain issues with your partner is always a result of how you have been conditioned to think and react as a result of your upbringing, your experiences, the pain that you've been through. That's why you react in the way that you react. And so if you aren't aware enough to recognize that you don't have the whole picture, that you always come from a limited perspective, that you have a very biased perspective at times, and that the way you're reacting is how you have been conditioned to react because of all the stuff you've been through in the past, if you're not aware of that, you're actually going to sit there in conflict with another human being and think that you have the whole truth and nothing but the truth and that other person is just a liar. That's what you're gonna think. You're actually gonna believe the insane idea that you're approaching things from a perfectly objective place without any sort of bias. At that point, when somebody has that attitude, how can you can't even have a conversation with them anymore. Because you can't have a conversation with somebody who's not willing to admit that there's something they need to learn, that they may be wrong, that they don't have it all together. And so we have to learn how to develop this in our life. Okay, here's the fourth one. Oh, and I love this quote by Richard Rohr. He says, our greatest addiction is always to our own way of thinking. Isn't that true? All of us are very addicted to our own rationale, to our own argumentation, to our own approach, but it's easy to do that. You wanna know what's difficult? It's difficult to put yourself in another person's shoes. It's difficult to try and see things from that other person's perspective. But once you get in the habit of doing that, once you start building your muscles in that department, you wanna know what starts happening? even when you disagree with almost everything that other person is saying, you'll still be able to find that one small little tiny kernel of truth in what they said. And once you're able to identify that, then you have some common ground that you can now build upon. But if you're the one that's always right and that person the one that's always totally wrong, and you don't know how to give people the benefit of the doubt, you don't put yourself in another person's shoes, you're not looking for that common ground, you're always going to be doing this. Okay, the fourth one. It's more important to sit down and listen than it is to stand up and speak. It's more important to sit down and listen than it is to stand up and speak. I've shared this story before. I'll share it again just because it's so messed up and funny. But there was, you know, Emily and I, we're still kind of figuring this out. Our schedule in life is off. It's off. She's very busy. I'm very busy. She's busier than I am. So she's home. I'm not home. I'm home. She's not home. Or we're both home and she's upstairs. I'm downstairs and we're working on stuff. So our schedule's kind of off. We don't really have a lot of time where we get to talk to each other. So it was worse like a year ago. Well, one of these days when this was happening at its height, I was home. I was on my couch laying down and I was reading a book. I don't know if I was preparing for a sermon or if it was for school or I was just reading. But I was into my book. Emily comes home and she goes to the kitchen and she had a great day or she had an eventful day. And so she starts talking with me. She's in the kitchen. I'm on the couch reading my book and she's talking to me about her day, you know, and I was just into my book. So I'm like, you know, I can get away with it. I was like, uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. And then she's like, are you even listening to me? I'm like, yeah, I am listening to you. What are you talking about? I'm reading my book. Then she comes up to the couch where I'm at and she sits right there. She starts talking to me and I'm still trying to do like the double thing, like reading the book and paying attention to her. And then I made, cause she would have been okay with it, but then I had to open my mouth. Okay. When she paused for like a brief second, I made the horrible mistake of saying, babe, you're a little chit-chatty today. Oh, no. The death stare that I got from that woman, it still freaks me out. Like, I think about that sometimes. It was traumatizing. Months later, we got into a really big argument. I don't even know what it was about, but we got very honest with each other. And Emily started sharing with me some of the frustrations that she had with me. And it was new news to me, a lot of the things that she was saying. And so I told her, I said, babe, how was I supposed to know any of this? I was like, you haven't told me any of this. You don't talk to me about any of this stuff. And she said, well, every time I try and talk to you, you say I'm a little chit-chatty. And so how am I supposed to talk to you? I was like, oh my gosh. That was so bad. So through that experience, I learned, okay, you know what, I gotta listen more and I gotta give my full attention. And that's important, okay, and that shows the other person that they matter. But another big lesson that I've learned in this regard when it comes to giving attention, listening to someone, and it really took me a while to learn this. But when your partner is expressing themselves to you about something they've been through or what's happening in their day or how they feel about a certain situation, you don't always have to give your opinion, your wisdom, and your advice. Oh my gosh. Okay? Good. So I got some points. I'm learning this. You know, because I always used to do that and I didn't, because, you know, for me, like I'm somebody who I always jump to the, because I can be naive. You know, it's my strength and my weakness, but I can be naive. I always think of the good. You know, I'm just wired like that. So there could be somebody who's really like a bad person and I'll still be like, nah, I don't think they're like that bad. You know, I mean, that's just where I go. Emily is like a lot of these women who I've noticed it's a superpower. They're very discerning and they can just sniff it like a dog. If this person is fake or this person is whatever, like I know. And Emily would tell me, I'm like, how do you know? How do you know? You just looked at them for 1 second. How do you know? She's like, I know. And then, you know, eventually she usually proves to be true. But there would be times where, you know, Emily would say something about you know, someone, or let's say one of her siblings, she got into an argument with her, with a sibling of hers, and you know how it is when you get mad at somebody and you're talking smack or whatever, I would, you know, it would frustrate me that she would go there. And so I say, well, why do you look at it that way? You know, why do you do this? And why don't you think about it like this? And I always had to come with a solution. I always had to, and it got to a point where Emily felt like she couldn't say anything to me anymore. Because every time that she says something, I'm trying to correct it. Every time she says something, I'm trying to provide a solution. Every time she says something, I'm trying to fix the problem that I think she is. Oh, such a horrible way to live. It's like you can't breathe. Anybody ever watched Parks and Rec? I love that show. It's a funny show. You should watch it. Parks and Rec and The Office, and now we're watching a new one called The Last Man on Earth. It's so hilarious. Has anybody ever watched The Last Man on Earth? Nobody's heard of that thing, and it's the best show ever. Okay, one person. Anyway, so in Parks and Rec, it's a really funny show, but there's this scene where there's a young woman who has a boyfriend, and the young woman comes home every night, and she has like all these stories to tell, all this drama she's experienced, all these feelings she has, and she's kind of dumping it on her man. And the guy was this overly positive person. So he would always try and like twist things with a positive spin. Well, why are you looking at it like that? You know, why didn't you look at it this way? And he, and in his mind, he's trying to be nice and kind. But she got frustrated with it. So one day she went to her friends and she said, every time that I tell this guy something that's happening in my life or something that I'm feeling, he is way too positive and he always tries to spin it, and he's always trying to give me an advice and a solution. So her friends ended up talking to her man and they said, listen, we're gonna give you a tip, okay? Next time that your girl comes home and she's frustrated about something or she's venting to you or she's mad about whatever, all we want you to do is just look at her and say, that sucks. And he said, okay, I'll try it. And so the next time it happens, she comes home and she dumps the bucket on him and they're talking and he looks at her and says, oh, that sucks. And then she shares some more and, oh, can you believe this happened? And then I got in an accident and then my boss made me do this and, oh, that sucks. And then this, and then he says, oh, that sucks. And then at the end of it, she looks at him once she's done and once he has said that sucks like 3-4 times, she looks at him, she takes a breath, she releases and she says, yeah, it does suck. And she hugs him, puts her head on his shoulder. And it's just like this beautiful moment. It's like, yeah, this sucks. Let's just allow the suckiness of this situation to be what it is and not try and like fix it or change it or try and look at it the other. No, just let it be. Sometimes the person that you're with, all they want is your validation. They already really know what they should be doing or how they should be acting. And they don't feel like they're not ready yet for that. Let them not be ready. If somebody wants to hold bitterness, we're like, okay, be there with them. Be empathetic. Sympathize. Feel those feelings yourself. Validate those feelings. Show that person you care. Babe, that sucks. It sucks. Look at this passage of scripture. I love this. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. I like how John Maxwell put it when he says, seek to understand before you seek to be understood. If you really put in the effort to understand somebody, you're going to make it a lot easier for them to put in the effort to understand you. This is why they say when it comes to marriage and relationships, you can either be right or you can be happy, but you can't be both. What's funny is I used to think that was a joke when people would tell me that before I got married and people would say you could either be right or you could be happy. And I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm like, that sounds like a miserable existence. And little by little, I started realizing, oh my gosh, that is the truth. Really, like you could either be right or you could just be happy. And once you find the happiness, who cares about being right? If you want to think you're right, that's fine. You know what I'm saying? I don't care. It don't matter to me. I'm just going to be happy. If the other person is crazy, let them be crazy all by themselves. Because I know some of y'all are dealing with difficult people. I thank God I don't have, you know, we work on ourselves. And we're, you know, but some of y'all are stuck with people who are just not working on themselves and not dealing with their stuff. And that's difficult. So if they're going to be crazy, let them be crazy by themselves. But why are you going to let that affect you? You shouldn't. This is, I love how they say it. If you're wrong and you shut up, you're wise. If you're right and you shut up, you're married. Isn't that funny? All right, here's the last one. Here's the last one. Don't be annoying. This is the most spiritual of the five. Really. Just don't be annoying. Look at this passage of scripture, one of my favorite. A continual dripping on a rainy day and a contentious spouse are alike. Always nagging. Always, you know, always making an issue about something that doesn't need to be an issue. Come on, somebody. We know people like this. We are these people. Anybody who knows me knows that one of my issues is that I grew up in a home where I was spoiled by my mother, and my father never really knew how to fix anything around the house himself. He always just paid someone else to do it. So I'm used to everyone doing things for me, and I'm not capable of really fixing anything myself. So when you bring that into a home and a marriage, that can be very difficult for the other person that you're with. And so we have problems. We have had these problems stack up for years of things in the house that need to be fixed. And now that list is like 20 things. And there's nothing that I could do about it. And she doesn't have time to do it. And so it stays broken. Well, we had an issue. Thankfully, my father-in-law came to fix this one because it was getting really bad. But our toilet in the master bedroom, for some reason, after a while, when we were flushing it, it would continue running. The water would stay running. So it would make like this really annoying noise. Like, you know that noise when you flush and it's just like, shh, like that noise just kept going and going and going and going. And then you got to remove the thing on the top and try and fix it. I don't like touching that stuff. And it's just got, you know, it's disgusting. And so when that happened, it was miserable. So me and Emily, we would go to bed and we would hear it running. And then we would get into arguments about who was the last person to use it. Because if you were the last person to use it, you gotta go fix it. And then even if I was the last person to use it, baby, you know I can't do it. What am I gonna do? I'm gonna make a mess and I'm gonna get frustrated. You're gonna wake up more because I'm gonna be cussing out loud at this toilet. So I'm like, can you just go fix it? So we would fight about this thing. And meanwhile, then when we were both really stubborn, we would really just try and sleep through it. Emily has that super, she can sleep through anything. I can't. So it was just this huge thing, so annoying. That's how you are. When you keep bringing up stuff that you should have let go. That's how you are. Every time you try and point the finger at the other person and tell them what's wrong with them. That's how you are. Every time you say you're going to forgive somebody, and then you keep bringing up the same issue over and over again whenever it is convenient for you. You know that's not forgiveness, right? If you're going to forgive somebody, you have to forgive them. Clean slate, you're starting again. Yeah, but I don't trust them. Well, if you're going to stay with them and you're going to forgive them, then you also have to make the decision to trust them again. Does that mean you're at risk? Yes, it does. Welcome to love. Welcome to love. But to say you forgive somebody and then you keep bringing up the same issue over and over and over again. My wife doesn't do this, okay? So I don't want y'all to think I'm venting. I'm just, she doesn't do this. She's amazing. But don't do that because that's annoying. It's annoying. Look at this. Last passage of scripture. He who covers over an offense promotes love. But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Just keep nagging about it and bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up. Don't be annoying. To end, there was a season, and I'm very grateful that we're past this season. But there was a season where things were very rough for my wife and I, to the point where if there was ever a time that maybe the thought would have crossed our minds to move on and move forward, that would have been it, without each other. Because we were just a mess. And I remember during that time, I called a mentor of mine, just frustrated. And I was sharing my side. There's always two sides, but I was sharing my side. And these are the issues, and these are the problems, and I don't know if I can deal with it anymore, and it's really hard for me. And Emily, of course, feeling the same way. And I'll never forget what this person told me. Said, Danny, there are moments in every marriage, in every relationship, where if it weren't for one person holding it all together, it wouldn't be held together anymore. There are seasons in every marriage and in every relationship that if it wasn't for one person who kept it alive, it wouldn't stay alive. And then he said, there are going to be moments in your relationship where each of you are going to take turns being that person for one another. Right now, in that moment, what my friend was saying to me was, it's your turn to be that person. There always has to be somebody, and thankfully we do take turns at this, but there always has to be somebody who sees the bigger picture. There always has to be somebody who doesn't just see what is, but can see what could be. Because if you've put in work with somebody, if you've really put in work, if you've made it a long way, it's not easy just to throw it all away. It shouldn't be that easy, at least. There's got to be somebody who sees the bigger picture and is willing to say, this is worth holding on to. This is worth fighting for. I'm going to hold it all together, even if you aren't. And you take turns doing that. That's what love is. There's a friend of mine who he has been married now. I think he's at 15 or 16 years. And I had asked him, I said, hey man, how did you guys do that? 15 years, that's a big accomplishment. How did you make it that far? And you know what he said to me? He said, Danny, we just didn't give up at the same time. Think about that. We just didn't give up at the same time. I'm sure there were moments where individually they may have given up or felt like giving up. But when one person was weak, the other person was strong. And that's how it's worked for them. And so that's my prayer for you. That you would find somebody in your life who is worth fighting for. That you would find somebody in life that is worth holding on to, even when sometimes you feel like you can't or you shouldn't. And that hopefully that other person that steps into your life sees you as somebody that's worth fighting for and holding on to as well. But if you want a healthy relationship, it begins with a healthy you. Self-awareness, self-knowledge. And then you have to learn how to perceive properly and understand that you never have the whole picture. You're always approaching things from a very limited perspective. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. And the more you learn how to sit down and listen and give attention and pay attention, and the more you learn how to stop being annoying and bringing up stuff that you're supposed to let go, the better off all of us will be. How do we feel? Are we okay? Did this help anybody a little bit at least? All right, because it was kind of quiet, so I didn't know how we were feeling. Maybe we're just chewing on it, okay? Part two, maybe next year. Let's pray. God, thank you so much just for your love towards us. And God, we know love is messy and it's difficult and relationships are so hard and they take so much work. But God, it's possible. It is possible to be happy. It is possible to find true freedom. It is possible to find love. And so I pray for people who are in marriages and in relationships who are struggling, God, that your peace would flood their soul, that you would give them wisdom and discernment and help them to grow up so that they can handle themselves well in any given situation. And God, for all of the people who are here who are single or they're dating or they're in and out of relationships, God, would you help them through this process? Would you be with them? Help them to be patient with themselves. Help them to be discerning in who they choose to do life with. And God, all in all, I pray that you would prepare them for what you have ahead of them. Marriage is a gift. Relationships are a gift. But like everything else, sometimes the best gifts can become the worst difficulties in life. So Lord, we ask for your wisdom and your guidance. We can't do it alone. We're depending on you. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.